Fantastic. Well, the size scares me a little. Yowza. I think that's hot. Do I keep talking until you get it adjusted? Is that how it works? Well, this ought to be interesting here. Praise God. Wow. I really believe. testing there. So I don't blast you off the wall. I really do believe Eastgate has turned a page. I'm not sure what the next page looks like, but this much I know. I trust in the Father of lights. I trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord of resurrection life, that we have shifted into where he wants us to be. And one of the things that I just totally enjoy is all these babies that have showed up in the last couple of weeks. There's something about new life. Aren't you just drawn to them? I don't know if it's a grandma and me, but I've got to hold a new baby for just, if they let me, just to hold on to some new life for just a little bit. I've seen grown men go waha crazy, making strange noises just to get a little babies to smile, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They do, you know, they'll do wild things just to get those babies to smile. You know what God says about babies? It says about little ones that praise is perfected in children. And I'm not sure I know what that means, except little children, when you get them some new toy, you know, have you ever seen a three-year-old girl and they'll just, you know, I can't even do this because I'm way older than three, but you know what I'm saying? Little kids, they just jump up and down and they get so excited. That's what real praise looks like. So thrilled with new life. So excited with that new thing that they have to. It's in their DNA to respond with shouts and jumping up and down and twirling around, and that's called dance. Lifting their hands and smiling. That's what praise looks like. The last time I got to share, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share where we've been, where we are, and a little bit of where we're going. So I'm going to sort of start there and build on it, if that makes any sense at all. Once again, this is 1 Corinthians 14:26, and you don't have to go there, my friend in the booth. I'm just going to read it. This is where we are. But if we've turned a page, if the new and everything that happened in here last Sunday, we've shifted, then we need to know where we need to go. So 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this: "What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn or a song, hello, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information." This is Amplified Version, of course, I'm reading. Somebody has some revelation about what God is saying and doing in the now. Somebody. Or an utterance of tongue, in other words, a message in tongues, an interpretation of it. But Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Let everything be constructive and edifying for the good of all." Some of the other translations, I don't like this. "Let everything be done decently in order." I like Amplified better. When we come together, it's the body of Christ. And each one comes with a gift, and there should be an opportunity for that gift to be shared. What's in you needs to come out of you. I don't care if you're playing drums. I don't care if this guy back there with all that stuff, I don't get it. Jerry does a little bit. But they get it, and they can run it. That's a help. That's a blessing, right, Andrew? And so, Andrew, it's your voice. It's your hug. Everything that is in you that God has created flowing out of you. This is where we are. You know, this was the response, because I know you've been asked, who's your pastor and are you getting one and all that? And it's like, I just go right here. This is what we're doing. We are living out when we come together, everybody shares. It's a team effort. Amen to that. I know you, otherwise you wouldn't be here. One of the most powerful things is praise and worship. And I love what happened last week. And I know, if you will remember, Linnea, under the power of the Holy Spirit, suddenly said, we need to sing or say or something the names of God. Do you remember that? And Brady here, I love these phones, pulled it up in the phone. And he was little, didn't want to read the Hebrew, and I needed my glasses, so it was a team effort to even pray those names out loud. But you know what, how powerful that is? When you say the name of Jesus, when you say the name of the Father, it changes the atmosphere. We experienced that. It built us up. We lived that scripture. And you know what else happened? All of a sudden, stuff started to happen. I love what Esther shared. That's to praise. You know, praise and worship is just not singing songs and guitar. I know I can go there really easy, and I love to do that. But I'm telling you, the mountains declare the glory of the Lord. So when you see the mountains, and my husband loves to go to the mountains, he feels closer to God. When you can look in the face of a baby and begin to praise God, when you can look into a flower or the stars in the sky and let your heart begin to worship the Creator, if you can do that, that's praise and worship. Every day we can do that. We don't necessarily need Andrew on the guitar. You know what I'm saying? Although it's good. It's all good. When you can see something that provokes this response, I don't have to say a word. This in Hebrew, it's called yada. All it means is to lift your hands to God. That's praise. I can worship him silently, although I'm not known for being too silent. But I can. I can. So can you. So can you. Easy. Easy to do. When you change the atmosphere around you, I'm saying to you this as I don't know, Holy Spirit right now, quicken this word right now, because I'm going to take you to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And that's where I'm going to pick up. That's where I left off. I'm going to pick it up there. What am I not doing here, Andrew? I need to be tightened or something. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Thank you. Hebrews 11 is a faith chapter, and it hallmarks, it lists all the men and women who stood by faith, and one of them being Abraham, who didn't even see the promises in his lifetime, all that God had promised him. But he saw it in the spirit realm. He saw the future, and he, because of faith, he kept going towards that promise of God. The heaven is not totally manifested on earth yet, but guess what? In there, it's coming. The king is coming back, and heaven will reign on earth, and we will rule and reign with him. That's our eternal destiny. It's coming now. And so what has to happen for that to happen? I'll tell you what. You don't have to go here. Psalm 22:3 says this. God inhabits the praises of his people. So what does God want? He wants his presence in us, through us, established and on earth. That's when we pray, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. It's when we begin to, this is an important key for today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, and the next few months. Our nation is in probably, we are in history-making times. We are in things that are changing so fast. Talk to my husband about computer stuff. It'll blow your mind. Talk to medical people, doctor, I know, also some medical things that are moving so fast, it would blow our minds. That's why this scripture, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, that means every burden, every unnecessary weight, and sin, which so deftly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, and steady, active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Let me say this. We're in a relay race. Ted Andrak started this congregation, right? Pastor Ted's not with us. He's with Jesus. He's in heaven. Steve is in heaven with Jesus. The batons have come down through the generations. It's up to us to take our turn in the time frame that God gives us and run with it. I know that I know this is so important, where we need to do the verse 2. Looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith and is also its finisher. He'll bring it to maturity. Jesus is going to bring. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He will bring us to maturity and the finishing product, if you will. Who for the joy, Jesus, that's the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what I want to say to you, especially now. There is just so much movement in the Christian realm. I have never been over 40 years born again, spirit-filled. I've never seen so many Christian networks pooling together, doing things together. It started last spring. And I'm telling you, as we get into fall, enjoy your vacation, because about when September hits, there is going to be a huge, already is. Actually, I know an incredible three-day thing that's starting tomorrow. There is a push on for prayer. And there is a push on to turn this nation around. This verse. Looking from all that will distract us. We could get politically tripped up. We could. Except you're called, we are called to praise and worship him no matter what. Real easy to say, isn't it? Sometimes hard to do. If you go to a doctor's office and you get a bad report, you know, your flesh may want to go, but can you do this? Just even that. You could get fired. You can have Supreme Courts turn some things. I don't know what Ruth's going to do. Our governor just signed a bill. You know? What's going to happen to the Freeport Pregnancy Center? We just had Sherry here not too long ago. They're going to have to make some choices here. And if they're going to have to start making some hard choices, you think we're not a part of that body? I got news for you. How many choices? We have got to look away from all that will distract, all the this, all the talking heads, NBC, ABC, CBS, although I listen to them, but I'll listen to them so I can pray targetedly. Does that make any sense? Looking to Jesus, and it's gonna take some doing to do it. However, this is how you do it. This is the good news, and I want to take you to Psalms. Psalms 22 says, if that's true, if God inhabits the praises of his people, then what does the psalmist say? And I love David. I love what David wrote most of the Psalms. We've lost the musical part of it. We have the words to the 150 songs. Moses wrote a couple too. Asaph, who was David's choir leader, also wrote a few. Ezra, again, so many of them all came out of a place called David's Tabernacle. And what that looked like, I'm going to share in just a minute. Psalm 27, listen to this. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. And in the secret place of his tent, David said, will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Round about me in his tent, I will offer sacrifices and shouting of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Praise and worship. So what is this tent all about? Let me show you a picture. If I can get this up. Yep. David's tabernacle was different than Moses' tabernacle. It was surrounded by tents. You had to go through this cleansing process. You had to bring your offerings. It was lambs, it was doves, it goats and whatever, and you had to bring. May have to turn off the lights there, John, so they can see it. I don't know how you do that. Ooh, it's sort of dim. But let me just talk to you about the, how it's David's tabernacle is different from Moses' tabernacle. Anyway, you had the brazen altar. You brought your offerings, which was grain, wine. You brought your first fruits. Remember, they were like farmers. And you brought it in. You brought your offerings. They killed the offerings on the altar. The priest only could go into that inner holy place. But David's tabernacle was different. Now remember, we're down some few years. And it's prophetically, the Spirit of God says it's David's tabernacle that's going to be restored in the end times. Now let me tell you about David's tabernacle. The rabbinical teacher said, see, that's the Ark of the Covenant. It was totally made in gold. See the poles on either ends? It's a box. It was covered with gold inside and out. And the testimony, the Word of God, was on the inside. Now remember, David tried to bring the Ark up from Obed-Edom's house, and Uzziah touched it and died. David got a little fear of God on him because this thing was holy. It was dedicated to God. But see the angels, I don't know, you can hardly see them. They're total solid gold, and they've got their wings over the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, yeah. I need a laser one of those hoo-has up, don't I? Point it out. Anyway, it's so bold. But I really believe, you'll notice in the tabernacle, this is what, in this tented area, David had men and women singers. They had drums. They had tambourines. They had all kinds of musical instruments. There was 24/7 song going up in David's tabernacle. You were free to sing, shout, dance. And because they hadn't built the temple yet, remember Solomon would do that, the rabbinical teacher said that David put the ark up on a table. And Apostle Dutch said, the rabbinical, they said that David would go in there and lay under the ark. He would lay there for hours. I want you to think about that, just soaking up the presence of God. He was a worshiper as a teenager. He was a warrior, and then he became king. And how God loved David, because David loved God. He would go hang out in that presence of the Lord, and just think about what he heard. He'd hear all this musical and whatever, and there was also prayers going up. There was never a separation, and this went on 24/7. You'd have your night crew, your day crew, your morning crew. The only way I can possibly, what we have in the United States in Kansas City is the International House of Prayer, Kansas City. Since the year 2000, they've had 24/7 worship. You can go down there. It's one of the most, you just walk in the building. You know, the building itself is about twice as big as this. But they, every 2 hours, they change, and they're mostly young people all through the night. This has been going on for 16 years. And it's harp and bowl. You may be familiar with that term. It's simply worship and intercession, 24/7 going on. I know there's other places, but that's probably the father of a bunch of other places called International House of Prayer. It looks like that. David soaking up the presence of the Lord. Is it any wonder he could write all these wonderful songs? Think about it. In his tent, in his presence, you can build your own tent in your own house. And that's what I'm saying we're going to have to do. It's going to be a discipline. You're going to have to, your mind may go wonkers over the news or some bad report. But it's going to be a discipline to say, yeah, well, I praise you. It's going to be a practice, a discipline. You don't understand what I mean? You're going to have to kick that into a place that maybe is uncomfortable. Your flesh, my flesh, is going to have to line up with the Spirit of God in me. Yet I will praise him. Yet I will praise him. And however you do it, I know some of us throw in CDs or some of us play instruments or whatever. You can also do it by walking outside and seeing something like the mountains. And oh my God, I want to enjoy what you created, the stars. I mean, however, I'm just saying, in order to survive and stand this next few months, this is going to have to be kicked into place now. because we will be Harp and Bowl. We will be worship and intercession. Worship and intercession. It's where we're going to have to go. We want the presence of God back in this nation. My God. If your grandma thinks I do, it's not so much for me and Jer. It's for my grandkids. It is, I don't want to leave this nation. It is so not like what when we grew up. It is so not. You know, we are one terrorist attack from chaos. But God. But God. That's good news. Psalm 34:1 says this, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, either that's the truth or it's a lie. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Proverbs says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to speak, not only speak life and blessing and hope, but again, His praise shall ever be coming out of my mouth. God, I thank you. Thanking is part of praising, by the way. look at Psalm 50, verse 23. If you got your Bibles, quick. I got to flip a few pages here. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. And he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Now that salvation, that's sozo. That's the sevenfold manifestation of the saving. That means healing, deliverance, provision, protection. And I always forget the other two or three. There's seven meanings of the Greek word sozo. That's what that means. That's scripture. God will show himself, let me say it another scripture, God will show himself strong on your behalf when you do that. That's a promise you can stand on. I'm afraid we're there now and we need to kick some of these into gear. Psalm 89:1, this is where I'm at this stage of my life. Psalm 89:1 says this, I will sing of the mercies and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness, God, from generation to generation. Are you telling your kids all the God stories? Are you singing your praise? You know that we have a family praise song? And I've sung it at a family gathering. Becky plays keyboard. So Becky, me, and Emily, her daughter, who is now singing in church. She's 14. That gangly teenager that was here just a month or so ago is singing. So one generation needs to pass it on, this scripture. We're called to do that. Psalm 89:12 through 15, listen to this. The north and the south, you have created them, God. Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon, which is in the north, joyously praise your names. All the trees of the field clap their hands. The mountains declare his glory. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand. Your right hand is soaring high. And this is a scripture so many are praying. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Huh? They walk, O Lord, in the light and in the favor of your countenance. It's coming into a sound of joy. It's recognizing it and joining in. All of creation sings his glory. So that's, I love the early morning. And you know, when we go out, of course, we live on a farm. We have these birds. They are so happy in the morning. They are. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, there's this, and sometimes we got this woodpecker and we got this dove. I live in a rock house with 18-inch walls, and I don't know why I can't hear the other sounds of the birds, but you get a dove outside and it goes coo, you know that low pitch? I can sit in the living room and hear this dove sing. I haven't figured that one out yet. That makes no sense to this brain, but I'm telling you, the sound, you can go in the morning and that joyful sound, and that can kick us in to giving him thanks and praise and worshiping him. Can we take that sound and praise to where you work? Surrounded by computers and, you know what I'm saying, what do you call those enclosures they put you in? Cubicles, thank you. Can you take that? See, it's in you. You just need to let him out. You can. You can do it. You can do this. You could walk into your cubicle. Roger, I don't know if you work in a cubicle, but you could walk in the cubicle and do that. That's praise. Or you could do a little happy dance. I like to do happy dances. My clients let me do it too. Now, I want to take this to another level because there's a deeper meaning to praise and worship. I've just told you how we're going to survive, to overcome, looking to Jesus, giving him praise, worshiping Father God. This is for us. Now, I want you to go to another step. This is for our nation. Psalm 100 says this. Boy, you could just read this every day. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. You can pray this over Israel, Russia, China. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves, but we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy and his loving kindness are everlasting, and his faithfulness and his truth endure to all generations. Now that is God's truth, and it don't matter who gets president. I need to say that again. Doesn't matter who gets president. Doesn't matter. It does. I'm hopefully have a chance to talk about some political things maybe another time. But the body of Jesus Christ will overcome, survive, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, is ever building even as we speak. We hope for a president that is going to stem the tide of evil. We hope and pray for that to happen. But our should not be dependent on who gets in or not. Are you hearing me? Let's talk about that now. So no matter what happens, we'll still be praising God and trusting in and believing in him no matter what. We have brothers and sisters that are falling more into persecution. If you keep up with the news, Russia has just put the clamps on Russian Christians. And guess what? So is China. We're talking about multiplied millions of our Christian brothers and sisters are no longer free to raise their children about Jesus. They are no longer free to even speak out or gather. So persecution has been ratcheted up. What do you think they're doing? How do you think they will overcome? Trust me, they're going to have to do this. They may have to do it in the secrecy of their homes, but they've done it before that way. It will continue. Psalm 148. Actually, the last three Psalms. 148, I'm not going to read it all, but boy, I tell you, praise the Lord, you heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, sun, moon, stars, love, light. Praise everything that God has created was created for his enjoyment, but also to give him praise. So I think God delights it when we enjoy the stuff he's made, like these babies and the sunrises and the sunsets and dogs and cats. You know what I'm saying? I think it delights it when he said, see what I made? Isn't it good? That's what he said. It's good. I just want to agree with God more and more. That's what Psalm 148 says. But look at Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Huh. Did you know new songs break old cycles? There's a whole book on that. Worship Warrior by Chuck Pierce and Dr. Bob Heiler and John, what's his face, one of the praise and worship leaders down at Glory of Zion. New songs break old cycles. Praise him in the assembly of his saints. Let Israel rejoice in him, their maker. Let Zion's children triumph and be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in a chorus, in a choir, and with single group dance. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and it says lyre. I'm going to say guitar, same difference. Let him praise him, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation and even adorn the wretched with victory. I want you to go into quantum physics on this. As God is my witness, if the church praises him, there is an atmosphere change, not only for us, because our ears hear it, but in the city. I totally believe Eastgate was called to be a Judah people. We were called to praise the Lord. I banked on, Steve said it, Psalm 24. I've stood on that, prayed it, sang it, whatever. Our call to the community is to praise and worship the Lord as Holy Spirit leads. And we're doing that more and more and more. It's our call. I totally believe it. So I want you to go into the quantum realm. The more we can get there and sing to him, praise him, the more we can do it, it will help set this community free. It's why we were positioned on the east side, East Gate. Right, Linnea? I don't know the whole story, but I know enough to know that much. So as we enter in, now what's your battle going to be? I'll tell you what your battle is going to be. Sunday morning, you'll probably have a fight with your husband. Something will just rattle your chain, make you go, blah. Hello? Flat tire, all that stuff. True? Come on now. True? Running late. Uh-oh. Looking past all that will distract unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, giving him praise. It's an act of choice to enter in. Doesn't matter about our checkbook balance. We're in debt again. We got a car. Got a bait alone. Doesn't matter about the weather. 20 below. Doesn't matter. Your call, my call, is to show up here, to gather together, to encourage one another, and to change the atmosphere. We'll do it when we sing it, say it, praise him. Quantum worship, you guys remember James Nesbitt when he was here, and he has these, they're called quantum worship conferences. They are totally wild. I love them. He brings some of the nation's best musicians in, and then he brings quantum physicists in, and they share stuff that blows my mind. So, Andrew, I'm doing this for you because this blew my mind. I love this. Dr. Chuck Thurston, who is a cardiac surgeon, shared for 20 minutes. And he also knows, he's spirit-filled, he also knows Hebrew. There are four chambers in your heart. I'm not a medical person either, but right, there's four chambers in your heart. And because he knows Hebrew and because he knows all about the heart, he's operated on him. And your heart makes sounds. Like one of them is a goosh, I guess, if you listen to, if Linda was here, she's got it. It makes different sounds. Every chamber makes a different sound. Oh, he compared that to Hebrew words. So when your heart beats, these are the words in Hebrew that your heart makes these sounds, like this. Your heart is literally singing, making the sounds, all blessing, all glory, all honor, and all praise. So with every heartbeat, I know one of the words is kadesh. So when your one of the ventricles goes whoosh, that's the best I can do. I don't speak Hebrew. Your heart, you know that you sang that song, our God, my heart sings to you. You know how true that is? If your heart is beating, your heart is singing Hebrew. This. You, in fact, if we would say it, all blessing, all glory, all honor, and all praise to you. Your heart is beating that out, literally. Those are the words you're beating and saying. Your heart is singing to God. Isn't that, I think that's totally wild and awesome. Anyway. Yeah, I think it's way too cool. Let's go on. It says, let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God confers upon them. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Now, this is what I want you to get. Verse 6 of Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands. Verse 7. This is where praise and worship can enter into spiritual warfare. Said about changing the atmosphere over the city. How about defeating the devil? See, this is where we have to go because this has to be done, not only in our families, in our state, but in the nation. God says this, to wreak vengeance upon the ethnos, chastisement upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. He, the Lord, is the honor of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Now, what I'm talking about is changing the atmosphere that praise and worship, as we enter in, we co-labor with a living God who then brings judgment, sometimes on peoples and nations. Sometimes he does that. But it's really the demons that are operating behind the nations. God's word is still true. He says, for example, I will bless those to Israel. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, in every tribe, but Jesus says this, out of every tribe and tongue and nation, I'm going to have believers. Which means in Iraq and Iran, guess what? There are more Islamists coming to Jesus Christ because of dreams and visions and underground whatever than has ever, hear me, ever been. God of the Great Awakening, Third Great Awakening to church historians, it's already started. They are already seeing, and it's sort of an underground earthquake. You know, you can just walk on top and not see it. But God is moving powerfully by his Holy Spirit. My deal is, I want to get in on it. Our high praises can execute judgment on the demons. If our praise and our worship goes into the atmosphere, that's where demon principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness, think about this, they're in that, what we call the mid-heaven. Who's in the third heaven? Highest heaven, that is where Abba Father is. That is where Jesus Christ sits. He rules and reigns. What does the scripture mean? I am seated with Christ in heavenly places far above, what? All powers, principalities. So how can I be seated in Christ on the throne room, ruling and reigning here when these feet are standing right here in Freeport, Illinois? How is that possible? Well, Dr. Yolanda, quantum physicist, says yes, absolutely. You can occupy two places at the same time. This is scary. They have machines that can measure it. I can't even go there, but I heard it, and there was a place where my mind went into. But they literally have machines where when I seek something, there is things that happen in the atmosphere that change. Things live and die. And it is spiritually true. I am seated because I am part of Christ. I'm above the demons. But I have to have the faith and revelation, and that if God inhabits the praises of his people, that when I praise him or when I pray in tongues, when I let the Holy Spirit flow through me, I am there above. I hope I'm explaining this. Are you getting this? Or have I just confused you with quantum physics? Let me explain quantum physics. Ooh, I love quantum physics. I could get so off on this, but I have a drum. It's a Celtic drum. It's about yay big, and it's got a skin. And I took it to James's thing and whatever, and they got amps and whatever. You know, I could put that drum on the back wall, and they let loose with, they've got congas and drums, I don't even know, whatever. Do you know that that drum, without me touching it, that drum will start vibrating and beating and making a sound, and nobody's touching it. You can feel it, and it makes a sound. Guitars will do the same thing. If you put a guitar in an amp, Ray Hughes taught us this, and you just play a chord, play a C chord, every one of them strings are going to start to resound and make a sound. Did you know that? That's quantum physics. So if you believe that, can prove it. What about anybody up here begins to enter into a place in worship and begins to make a sound that changes the atmosphere? Maybe it's this. Maybe it's a shout. Maybe it's a name of Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Shalom. What gets loosed in the atmosphere, if it resonates with you, you will be, something in you is going to begin to vibrate and respond. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for our response to what the praise and the worship is and what's going on in the atmosphere. Does that make any sense? So the more of us, the more of us that enter in on a Sunday morning, the better praise and worship is, right, Linnea? Right, Andrew? I mean, oh yeah, I used to lead praise and worship for about 18 years, trust me. I know that's true. That is a hard job. In case you didn't know it, on every given Sunday, it's hard. But anyway, so when we get into that atmosphere where we're seated and we're making and hearing the sounds of heaven, which, by the way, from Revelation, we know the sounds, what's going on in heaven. There's lightnings and thunders. There's all kinds of sounds in heaven. So some of us seers, hearers, prophetic people, they tend to hear those. They tend to hear what's going on in heaven, and guess what? They open up their mouths and loose it. That's what prophecy is. You hear a sentence, a word, a revelation, like Corinthians, Paul said, you hear something. Sometimes it's just a sound. So I love this. Linda, when she gets, of course she's not here, and I can't talk about her, but Linda, if you're hearing this, have you ever heard where she will grab that shofar, and I'm telling you, there's a sound. Yeah, I know we got one back here somewhere. I'm telling you, there's a sound. And you know, I get so many testimonies when she blows that thing and she says, I never know what's coming out. Because it's got to do, Jerry could tell you, it's got to do with the aperture of your mouth, and you got to just, it's almost like playing a trumpet. You got to go, something, how they do it, I can't do it. They make this sound, but it shifts the atmosphere. Again, the reverberations go through and you respond to the sound. Now that sound is so powerful, the walls around Jericho literally fell. Been there, seen them, done it. You know, if we get an operatic high, double high C in here, and we got a glass, she can voice. I mean, this is, again, quantum physics. She can sing at that glass, and that glass will shatter. You get a high enough. Again, I can't do that either. This is just natural science that God created. Do you hear and see those spiritual ramifications of what God is calling us to be and to do? I just believe we've only begun to enter into that realm. That's what I believe. I wish we had, can I dream a minute or two? Let me dream. James has this most incredible farm boy. I don't know if he's a violinist or a fiddler. I guess it depends on your perspective of your country. But I'm telling you, somebody up here who can play a violin, trumpet. I mean, I wish we had, you know, about every different sound, you know, a Moog synthesizer. Oh, man, that would be challenging, Linnea. You could just. I mean, can I dream? Can you just imagine the sound as everybody comes and brings their gifts and the sounds and the atmosphere? We're just making noise. If the Spirit of God isn't in it, and if it isn't birthed by the Holy Spirit, we have to seek Him for that anointing. We have to be open to allow Him to flow through us. I know a couple months ago, I don't even know who this young gal was, but one Sunday morning, Lenny, I think it was you were leading, it just happened to be that time, she got up here and began to just wave the flags. She was just up here, even that changed, you know that, again, science, quantum, it changes the atmosphere. It moves the air. She just got up here. I don't even know her name. I can't remember. She was just up here and just free, you know, like this. And I'm telling you, it unlocked the prophetic. We had some prophetic words. Nikki got loose. Stuff started to happen. And I know it was because you could see the anointing on that girl, and it loosed something. You know, like last Sunday, too. It loosed Linda. I mean, you know, we started popping up, and I love it. I love it when team, you know, this one's got a piece, that one's got a piece, this one's got a sound, and we work together to open up the atmosphere. Hallelujah. It is spiritual warfare. I'm not going to take the time to teach, but I just want you to read and study. I want to close with a prophetic word, and this is hot off the presses, so to speak. 2 Chronicles 20. I know this is often preached, but 2 Chronicles 20 is about King Jehoshaphat. And 2 Chronicles 20, this whole chapter is about Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And he had reestablished godliness and righteousness back into the nation of Judah. They'd had some bad kings, his father being one of them. And he began to put things back in order in the temple worship. He began to appoint Levitical priests and praisers and judges, and everything was looking good. And then verse 1, all of a sudden they got attacked by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. And Jehoshaphat feared, but he did this one thing. And this is exactly where we're going, and it starts tomorrow. As God is my witness, tomorrow some incredible things are going to begin in the body of Christ. Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself determinedly to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. And they gathered together, and he stood before the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he prays a prayer, and he said this in verse 12, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." They humbled themselves, they praised, they interceded, and the spirit of prophecy came upon this guy named, Jehaziel, and he prophesied this, "Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude against you, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord." And he gave him specific instructions to go down. Jehoshaphat the king went into battle, but guess what? He took the praisers and the dancers and the worshipers before him. And as they set themselves right in front of the enemy, three tribes, by the way, they were outnumbered, I think, 3-1. And as they began to praise, guess what God did? He inhabited their praise, and God took care with the enemies. And they turned on one another and self-destructed. Wouldn't you just love to have your enemies turn on each other and self-destruct? It could happen. It could happen. And verse 29 of that same chapter, you can read and study it. Verse 29 says, after this great victory, this great turnaround, this great worship, they bowed their faces to the Lord and gave him thanks for hearing their cry and also delivering them and speaking to them prophetically. They bowed before, and this is what happened when they went out to the battle line, stood in the face of the enemy. Ruth, you may have to do that with this new thing. But guess what happened? The fear of God came upon all the other kingdoms around them, the countries, when they heard what the Lord God Almighty had done for Judah. That's good news. I want to see that happen for the United States of America. I think we have a part to play in it. That's what I think. That's a prophetic word. There's good news and bad news in this prophetic word. It's from Chuck Pierce. He prophesied it in April of 2016. Okay, I'm just going to read it. And then we'll be ready for the last part, the DVD, okay? Starting Monday, April 25th through October 20th of 2016 will be the most tumultuous, confusing time this nation has known in over 160 or 170 years. I did the math on that. That's going back to 1846. That's pre-Civil War. We were in the midst of, by the way, a battle for slavery, even right here in the state of Illinois. I believe it was 1848, not sure about this, when Lincoln Douglas debates. So we were right in this, right that genre, okay? We have now crossed over into a time that will determine our future. I want you to know how you are connected in the body of Christ. I want you to know the body of Christ will not be the same. You stand at a crossroad and must know how to turn. This is a time that America determines its future. But understand this. This is a time that those leading the kingdom of God must move into their next identity. I need my intercessors. You have entered into a time of the tabernacle of David being exemplified and emerging in the earth. All religious cultures across the earth must now shift. Be willing to be the Judah expression that creates my prototype for the future. in Black America and in the African nations, the expression of God will unseat a wrong movement that will vie for authority in days ahead. Only my people in their culture can unseat the violence and hate in their bloodline. I want to talk about this. We used to ship away 100 years ago, the missionary movement, when we would go into other lands, they had to all look like Western white culture. And we told them they couldn't use drums, they couldn't make the sounds, the African women and the Arab, I'll probably blow the mind on this, they couldn't do this and worship. Do you know that's a cultural sound? Native American women do that sound as well. African tribes, isn't that interesting? Too common. There is a sound in that they turn this sound loose. Well, I'm saying those times have changed, and this is what he's talking about. Whatever ethnic culture you are in, you need to be able to do your songs and your dance, because that's how you praise and worship. It's in written in your DNA. Okay, back to the prophetic words. The Asian church will rise up and create a prototype we've never seen. Israel will come into its greatest conflict since 1967. Now, you know what happened in 1967? See, this is the part I don't think this is good news. 1967, June of 1967, was a six-day war. And 1967, they didn't have access to the Temple Mount. In 1967, and we've seen movies of it, it was a supernatural. They swear to God, angels came to their defense because Egypt attacked. They were attacked in two tides, and yet they somehow won. It was an amazing miracle, and they got back the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. So I don't know what that means. It just says Israel's going to come into the greatest conflict since that time, which is almost 50 years ago. You have entered a new season. Let Judah arise. If you will shift into a new time of worship and declaration, isn't that good, Linnea? I will set ambushments for your enemies. If not, they will ambush you. Good news, bad news. By my hand, I have set things for you to discover as you walk out your day. From the new prototype of war, praise, and leadership, that I am arising in the earth, I am capitalized, I will have a harvest of your enemies. The structure is in the blood, and my blood overcomes every other structure. But my blood must be appropriated. You understand what that's saying? The salvation through the blood. We have a blood covenant with Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Through the blood, we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, not loving our lives unto death. That's going to get more manifested, I think, than we've ever known. But we have to appropriate the power of his blood. I will have a people who bind the strong man and take his captured wealth. Know who you are, know your enemy, but make me and how I think your priority. So the heading of this is Chaos and Confusion between April and October 20th, which is an interesting prophetic word. I've even seen it in the headlines. I love the songs that are in heaven, even now. And so I just want to close. Let's go with this. And I want you to open your eyes on this one, okay? This is a revelation song, and this is some of the words. Can we get it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song. You can join in. Come on. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song. Heaven's mercy see. Holy, 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 the Lord. Prophecy. is written in the book. It's Revelation. Lord, we declare we're ready. We are ready for your soon coming King. Jesus, Lord, we just offer ourselves anew and afresh today. Lord, I can't speak for anyone in the sound of my voice, but I covenant with you today, Jesus, to worship you anew and afresh. I covenant to praise you no matter what's going on around me. I covenant today, Jesus, I mark this day, I will worship you. In spirit and in truth, because Father, you're looking for people who will do that. And I'm signing up today. I covenant with you to do that no matter what. And Lord, we just love you today. And I ask, Holy Spirit, you be who are the helper. Help us all. Help us all. Help us all to come into a new place of praise and worship with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless the body of Christ. We want to receive the communion this morning.